This conference will now be recorded.
Cindy may actually have an agenda that actually has some realistic items in it to play around with. She's looking right now, but.
Okay, cool. That'll work. All right, well, let's start off with a review of the public facing site. You've got two Legistar databases. You have a database that you will use when you go live. It's your production database. And then you also have a Legistar training database. So everything we've been doing related to training and probably a fair amount of testing has been done in the training database. So when you use the training database, then you actually wind up publishing information to the training public-facing insight page. So what I'm gonna do is show you the direct URLs to get to both of these public-facing sites. So clark-training.legistar.com. Typically don't have to type in HTTP or www or anything, and that'll take you to the training public-facing website, and then your production go live website that'll be integrated into your county site is clark.legistar.com. So I'm going to be in this one here, which is the one I have up on the screen here. And let me just confirm, can you guys see the bottom scroll bar here? I just want to make sure I don't have it too far down.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's jump right in. And for, you know, Darlene, Monica, and Michael for this, you know, numerous times. But so public-facing insight page, Granicus calls it an insight page. You've got a calendar tab. You and the public, when you first come here, will arrive at the calendar tab. And up at the top, you've got a list of some of your upcoming meetings. And then down below, we have a section for all meetings. And down in the all meetings section, we have a search field here where we can kind of search for scheduled meetings. And we can filter the searching based on a time period. We can even filter it based on a specific governing body. And, you know, there is a notes field and such when you're scheduling meetings that you can search for as well. Down here below, in a variety of screens, you're going to see some options here. And if you hover over group, it's just a way to sort the data that you're looking at down in the grid. And then export is a way for you or your citizens to export the data in Excel, PDF, or Word format. If they're interested, if they're that excited about it. Generally, when we talk about scheduling meetings, you know, you're going to go in and schedule, you know, 6 months, a year's worth of meetings in Legistar. And they're going to show up out here, but the only information they're going to see is the name of the governing body, the date, and the time. So everything else out here, all these different columns, eventually will have hyperlinks in them. And the hyperlinks don't appear until, you know, you guys are doing very specific steps in Legistar. So when we talk about, you know, publishing agendas, we're eventually going to go through some specific steps, and it will activate the meeting details link, and it'll activate a PDF version of your published agenda, which is a report you're going to run in Legistar, and we'll take a look at that a bit later. If we come down and take a look at meeting details, and I don't know if I clicked on that one the other day or not. Let's see what kind of information is in here. All right, this looks good. Is there a question?
The 8:13 meeting is one that I created from, I copied every item from another meeting. So it's an actual meeting.
Oh, beautiful. All right, awesome example. Good job, Cindy. All right, well, yeah, let's run with this one. So the public comes out here, you publish the agenda, the meeting details link activates, and they click on it. And this is really where they can go, and you and staff can come here as well, of course, to really drill down and look at the details of the agenda. And in here, we actually see the status of the agenda, which is final because we've published it. And in this example, we haven't published the minutes, of course, so the minutes are in draft. So a lot of good information out here. They can also access the PDF agenda, and when staff comes around publishing the minutes, they can access it, the PDF minutes here. There is a way for you guys to upload additional documents that is at the meeting level. So if we manually upload some documents here in this attachments field, it's not attached to any agenda items or files in the system. It's attached to the overall meeting. And in order to do that, you have to have certain permissions at the insight level. So that is going to be a little bit different than permissions that you might have in Legistar. So usually it's only a handful of staff that have access to come out here and do that, but I will show you how that works. That is a part of the agenda training. And it looks like Cindy or somebody, I guess, is kind of already familiar with doing that.
Yeah, I did that.
All right, good job. And then down below, kind of similar to the calendar tab we were on, we have the ability to sort through the group dropdown. We can export the data. And then there's another option here where you know, you and the citizens can toggle between just seeing legislation, which is primarily agenda items, or seeing the entire agenda as a whole, which is what we see here. We've got your sections, your headers, call to order, invocation. Then, of course, we have all of the agenda items or files that, you know, staff would create and put on an agenda. So from here, the public can actually click on any of these to drill down and take a look at the details of that specific agenda item. And of course, they get to see right off the bat, they can see the title, which is the recommendation that staff are putting into that Word template. And then, of course, you can access all of the supporting documents or attachments as well. Underneath that, we've got two tabs. We have a history tab, and I'll go to a different meeting here in a few minutes so you can kind of see what it looks like when the minutes are published. But the history tab is basically going to show you the history of this agenda item, the different meeting bodies, the meetings that they've been on, and it will also provide access to the minutes data as well. So if this gets, you know, referred to, you know, if it starts out in a committee, gets referred to the BCC, you know, we would have two history lines here representing both of those meetings. There's another tab here, text tab. And this is the public's opportunity to actually take a look at that Microsoft Word template that staff is filling out, your coordinators, et cetera, when they're creating agenda items. Also, on the...
But it's just like the rough... Yeah, it's not the actual generator report. Sorry.
No problem. Out here at an agenda item level, even at an agenda level, the public can actually create an account for themselves out here on Insight, and they can sign up for alerts and RSS feeds, and they can share the information through a lot of different social media venues. And alerts are pretty cool. You know, they sign in, they create an alert, and the alerts can be, you know, send me an email when a published agenda or an agenda item has, you know, the following words or terms in it, things like that. And I've heard of the media using the alerts every so often.
Sure.
All right. Now we were here at the calendar tab. That's kind of how we drilled down into the meeting minutes. I'm sorry, the agenda details, but I'm going to come down a little bit farther here and just kind of show you a little bit of what it looks like when there's published minutes out here. So again, staff is going to go through very specific steps to release the minutes data. And when they do that, within meeting details, we will be able to see the actions, the results, and there will be an action details tab here where they can drill down farther and see how everybody voted and things like that. And they can also do a little bit of sorting within these windows. And they also have access to clicking the file IDs as well. So a lot of good information out here. Let's go to search agenda items real quick. So this is basically where you go to search pretty much all of the data that came from Legistar, primarily the data is within files. So really what we're doing here is searching through files. We've got, this is kind of what I call an easy search kind of field here. We can type in keywords and terms, and we can do some filtering based on time frames. You know, we can filter by the specific file types or the specific agenda items that might be created. We can include file IDs. We can include text, which is going to be the text within the Microsoft Word documents that staff are completing and filling out. Really nice thing about this public-facing site is it does search through attachments. So not only does it search attachment names, but it'll search through the data within an attachment as long as the attachment is readable. That is something that Legistar doesn't do. So currently Legistar, when you do searches in Legistar, you can search for an attachment name, but you cannot search through the actual documents. And then other info would include some other fields that are within the files module that aren't specifically the file ID or the legislation text or the file types, et cetera.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
So this is for the Insight, which is different than the Legistar search, where it only the Insight only searches the published documents, right?
Yes, Insight is only going to search published data, correct?
Where Legistar will search anything that's out there, whether it's published or not, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Thank you.
You bet. You beat me to it. And then we've got an advanced search link here and a really nice tool. If you come in here, it's basically like filling out a form. This is going to have, for the most part, most all of the primary fields within a file. And we can even do some date range searches out here as well. And, you know, you're going to have tens of thousands of files in the Legistar database that have been published. So, you know, at some point, doing a more advanced search would probably be beneficial. Bless you. All right. So that's kind of the high-level overview of the public-facing Insight page. Do you have any questions?
Are all our old files being put into Legistar, or are they going to sit out there on the county's website?
The hope is that we'll be able to migrate 10 years from 2010 forward, basically.
Okay.
Assuming we can get through the data review process and we don't run into any more major issues with how it looks for how some of the documents and stuff are coming over.
Okay.
But that's the hope. But if for some reason we can't, or for some reason someone can't find something, there is the document management system we have. That if it's not already public searchable, that will be public searchable at some point, I believe. The
Title 360.
I thought it was something else.
ECM. ECM.
Yeah.
ECM.
So the video.
I just wasn't sure. I knew there was a big discussion going on about that, but it's been so long since I've been able to attend. I wasn't sure what the status was.
And we had gone the day to the point where I was good with it for the most part, but it was to the point where I couldn't make a decision. It needed to be reviewed by the group. So they did some review. They found some more issues. They had some more issues. So they're looking at trying to import it a different way into the system.
Okay.
So
okay.
Hopefully it ends up well if we can get that data over.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be circling back to the Insight page a little bit later. So now let's go ahead and get into Legistar here. So this may be, I guess, just for Marcy, but it's good to get on the recording and kind of talk through a little bit. You know, your coordinators, staff that create items, even your approvers, staff that work on agendas, staff that work on minutes. You know, you guys may be coming in the system and actually creating an agenda items here and there. And in addition to that, of course, you're doing some work within, you know, the agendas module, maybe even the minutes module as well. So we're going to go into local settings and kind of talk through a few things. So if you would get to click on the home button to get to your home screen and then go up to tools and select local settings. All right. Is everybody in local settings?
Now, where's the local settings? Oh, I don't have that tool.
The home button.
I'm in the home button. And then tools come down.
There you go.
The tool.
And then there.
That's right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. A lot of different areas and sections in here, variety of different settings. We're going to only focus on a few things in here. First, if you would, come down and click on the legislative files. I don't know if you call it a button or a header, whatever it may be. And, you know, this is where we go as, you know, your coordinators, anyone who creates items, you know, even your approvers, things like that. One of the things that we want to do in here is we want to set your default department. So if you don't have your department in here already, please click on the drop down and select your department.
For you two, it won't matter as much. Once we get the permissions final for you guys, you should end up with the ability to change this in an item if you need to later.
So when we have to do an agenda item for Yolanda or for somebody in finance, whatever,
yep,
we would change that in order to, yeah.
You wouldn't need to change it here. You could actually
change it in the item.
Okay.
Yeah, you should end up with the permissions to change it where you need to in the item to,
okay,
indicate it that it's actually this department's item and not your normal department item.
Okay. So we would just leave this on Park County Board of Commissioners then, for now.
For the department,
and then services are assumed.
We have just regular admin services for you.
Yeah, it's admin services, admin is what it says.
That's fine.
Okay.
We can always change that if it's an issue. I think your actual group will end up being agenda admin or something.
Okay.
No.
Which isn't
right.
Okay. So click on admin. That would be good, Cindy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, we can probably remove that admin later.
Okay.
Yeah,
we
I think it's a little redundant. Yeah. I think it's kind of a holdover from fire. Because they had admin services and
then
admin services
admin.
But
yes,
overarching admin. So.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay. So Michael beat me to the explanation of the department field. So I can go ahead and skip that. And again, like he mentioned before, you can change that on the fly when you need to, but as a best practice, we always want to go into local settings and set a default department. The default file controlling body, you know, for you guys, this may fluctuate as well. It may not. This kind of has to do with, you know, accessing a specific meeting body, being able to do things with it. You know, depending on what you select here, that doesn't necessarily mean you've got access to, you know, create items or do things related to that meeting body or that governing body. So that can actually be kind of overridden, and it's really defined in Legistar administration. When your administrators go in and assign you to user groups, they're actually within those user group permission settings, actually specifying the different governing bodies or meeting bodies that you can actually do stuff with. But in here, you know, if we want to set the default, and if you work on more than one, that's fine too. You'll have permissions to change it on the fly if you need to. And for now, we'll just kind of skip the rest of them. Default file type, you know, that's something you can change on the fly as well, but that's really more for the drafting process. But we do touch on this during agenda training. And then next, we're going to jump down to the agendas button here, or the agendas header. Now, this is an area that does directly apply to the agendas module. So, you know, the best practice here again is to come in and select the default meeting body that you're going to be working on agendas. Some staff work on more than one meeting body agenda. Sometimes there's staff that work on more than one commission or committee agendas, things like that. So if that's the case, we just select, you know, the one you work on most often. And then, of course, when you're scheduling meetings and things like that, you can change it on the fly if you need to. But same premise here, though. If you're a part of a user group that doesn't have permissions to do anything with Zoning Commission, even if you select Zoning Commission, you're still not going to be able to do anything. And as a matter of fact, if you select a meeting body that you don't have permissions to do things with for the agenda, you're going to actually start receiving errors when you go into the agendas module and try to schedule a meeting. Unfortunately, we can't filter these based on the meeting bodies that you only have permissions to work on. All right. And I don't know if anybody in the room, you know, does minutes or anything, but the minutes tab is kind of inherits that to a certain extent. But that's kind of defined in administration as well. We're going to skip over fire locations, color settings. If you want to change the colors of some text in Legistar or a few of the fields, feel free to do so. And that's really all we're going to focus on here. So let's click save, especially if you made some changes. Now, local settings, these personal settings, you're setting these currently at a training computer, unless you're VPN'd into your actual desktop. So what we need you to do when you get back to your desk, go into local settings and just confirm that these settings saved to your local settings at your desk. Sometimes they do, and every once in a while they don't. So we want to make sure they're set with the computer you're using at your desk. All right, jump to password. And Marcy, I don't know, this may just be for you, but this is where you can go to change that default password, which I believe is the word password, all lowercase. So,
The next tab, file location. No. So we're here.
Okay.
And I wasn't looking. Go ahead.
Yeah, so go ahead. Marcy, are you the only one that needs to change your password?
I just left my password.
Okay. Yeah. We don't really recommend that.
I don't either.
Because that password can be used on that public facing website. So I would definitely change it to something that is at least 5 characters.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and change it on here.
Will this save? Will we have to do it again at our desk?
This will save.
Okay. So one thing I'll note to Cindy and Marcy here, there's no controls for requirements for passwords here.
Okay.
There's no password expiration. That's something we know about. So we can't force users to change their password, and we can't force them to be to the county standard on the passwords either. So.
But what we should probably do is when we go in and change passwords, like the 90-day or whatever it is that we have to go in 6 months, or when the system tells us you need to change your password, we should probably just change this password too.
You can, but the thing is we can't force our users to, like we can't
right.
with the Windows one. So, okay. And there's no reminder in the system we can do either, so. We can recommend it. It's just I can't enforce it. I can go see if they changed it, but
Well, I'm changing it. Just to be on the.
I think they could end up changing it to the same password if they wanted. And that would probably mark it as updated.
Okay, so confirm, and I can hit enter.
Make sure to click save at the top left.
You have to say, okay. Okay. Hit save. Now I'm going to go.
All right, we good to go?
Yeah, you can move forward.
Okay. That's all we're going to do here in local settings. So let's go ahead and just click back to the home screen. And just make a few comments about the home screen here. This is going to be specific to the person that's logged in. And as you begin to, you know, create agenda items or look at items or files in the system, you're going to have some recent files here. When you start, you know, scheduling meetings, working on agendas, or even just looking at agendas and things like that, those recent agendas will list here. Same concept with recent minutes. So the list will grow, and the newer files or agendas that you've been looking at will be at the top, and then the older ones will be near the bottom. And over a period of time, the older ones will drop off the list as newer ones are added to the top of the list. And then down at the bottom right, approval requests, that is a queue for your approvers. So if something is currently assigned to them to review and approve, that's their queue. And just from a testing and training perspective, I've got a few sitting here. All right, any questions about the home screen?
Nope.
Okay, now there is something that I point out during agenda training, and if it's different staff that attend the minutes training, I usually mention it there too. We don't go through all the reports and details, but I do like to point out that from the home screen, you do have access to a number of reports. So if you would like to follow along, feel free to click the reports button at the top right. And when you do that, you arrive at the first report that's in the list, which is a general certification. But what we can do is kind of repetitive here, but at the top left now, there is a reports button. And if you click on that, that is going to show you a list of reports that are available to you from the home screen. And I don't believe you guys have customized any of these reports, and some of these may be of value to you, they may not be, but if you have a little bit of time, I would recommend coming in here and running some of these reports just to kind of take a look at the kind of information that it provides to you. A couple of the ones that are most commonly used, approver status, you know, by like the clerk's office or someone who's working with agendas, sometimes we'll run this. Upcoming agenda items is another one that you can run as well. And depending on what report you select, kind of depends on the options that are available to you. So generally speaking, we cannot customize these specific reports. They're kind of those kind of they're canned out of the box reports that are available to you. And when you're ready to run the report, you click run, and then it'll generate the report based on the destination that you select. So the destination is really the output. And again, depending on the report you run, it may or may not have all of these different outputs available.
So are these reports available to everyone, all of the coordinators, everybody that enters items, or?
It can be. It depends on how your core team and your Legistar administrators have set up their permissions. They can be restricted from accessing the list of reports. They cannot be restricted from just a few reports. I think generally it's restricting them from the entire list of reports. but they can be restricted or they can have access. All right. Is there a question?
Michael's trying to answer.
Okay.
Can you turn them off? I don't think we have for most of the users.
I don't think you've looked at them in the time, true.
We should probably look through them before people start clicking and calling and asking questions. I'm not going to go.
We didn't even know anyone about them in the other training, so.
Correct.
Start clicking on it and pulling stuff up and calling us.
Right, no, I agree. We need to go.
They haven't done that entire. So, I don't expect them to, but.
Okay, well, why don't you give them Michael's phone number?
Just put the home tab and reports.
I couldn't really hear that. There were a couple people talking. What was the question?
How did you get to this again?
Okay. If you're in this screen, just to point out, this a lot of times when you're in report screens, in order to get out of here, we have to click close at the top right. So I'm going to click close to get out. And then just to kind of recap, from the home screen, there is a reports button at the top right. And then if I click that, it brings me to the first report in the list. And then I can click the reports button again at the left, and that'll present to me the list of reports. All right.
After they have to run the staff report, so they are going to go into the reports.
They won't run it from the home tab.
Yeah, that's run from the files module. That's a different set of reports.
Okay. If it's a problem, we can turn it off.
All right. Well, I'm glad I touched on it. A lot of times Ginger will send a document way, way back at the beginning of the process somewhere that actually lists all the reports. I don't know if she did that or not, but you know, during the agenda minutes training, I do point that out because typically, you know, again, agenda staff and even minutes staff sometimes will have access and want to potentially run a few of those. Okay. Well, for the sake of time, we're almost about an hour in. We should go ahead and jump to the agendas module. So let's go ahead and click on agendas here. So real quick, I'll just talk a little bit about scheduling meetings. It's pretty straightforward. And then from there, we will go ahead and dive into how you can work on an agenda, edit agenda, generate it, publish, all those kinds of things. All right. Agendas module, when you first arrive, you're in search mode, just like files and minutes. And I can tell by looking up here, it says search mode. And the agendas module has two tabs. It has a calendar tab, and then it has an agenda tab. And we'll talk about the agenda tab a little bit later. So the calendar tab is where you'll go to schedule your meetings. What I'll do is just select the one I created a little while ago for this week's training. But when you click on new, what you're going to do is select a meeting body. And I guess I can go ahead and do this. I'll just delete it when I'm done here. So I click on new and I'll select a meeting body. And depending on what meeting body I select, there's going to be one that populates by default. And that comes from the local settings under that agenda section of local settings. And again, if they pick one that they don't have permissions to access, when they click on new, they're going to get an error message and they won't be able to move away from that error message until they go back into local settings and switch it to a meeting body they actually have access to create permissions to create meetings for. All right. When we select a meeting body, then it'll pre-populate a date, which would be today's date. And it'll also pre-populate a time, and it can also pre-populate a location. So the pre-populated location and time are going to be defined in Legistar administration. And again, defaults are just that. It initially shows up with whatever the default is. but we can go ahead and change the default by using the mini calendar here if we want to change the start time of the BCC meeting. And then if this happened to pre-populate a location, I could go ahead and change that by just typing in the field. We also have access to a notes field here. And the notes field is visible to the public if you type something in the notes field. So if I pull up your public-facing insight page, unless you've done customizations, if you put anything in that note field, that will actually show up out here under, it should be, let's see.
Can you go to that August 8/13?
Yeah, sure.
I think and the note, no, I don't have anything. Where is it that I put it?
So you let me go back here. Yeah, you can actually request, I believe, our designers to prevent the notes field from showing up out here on the insight page. And it looks like you may have asked them to do that.
Go to the August 13th meeting that I already posted.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the notes, I put the next BCC meeting, right?
I think that's it.
Yeah. It is, right, Michael?
Yeah.
That's where we put our, it pulls in other information for the next, for the zoning meeting for Wednesday.
Yeah.
Also used on special meetings in case of
that. Yeah. So we use that.
Gotcha. Yep. So you've got, you have a bunch of customized reports and Ginger and Brian had sent me a document that kind of talks about those custom reports and things like that. Different fields, potentially within the meetings tab or within Legistar administration that will impact what shows up within different reports and things like that. So
right.
Here, this is a good example of why you probably don't have a default location in Legistar, or I should say being pulled in from Legistar. Probably why it's blank is because your report uses that field for a customization. So if text is entered in the location field, it will replace the agenda text at the top with whatever you put in that field here.
Right, that's what we use for our addendum, so we can, so the revised agenda will show up at the top.
Yep. Awesome. Okay.
All that stuff.
All right. And it's important to note, and this is usually a quiz question that I ask a little bit later in the training session just to prepare you. The calendar tab is where you find the status field. And the status field is important because as someone who works on agendas, there's a couple of different statuses that are available to you here, and we kind of talk about those as we go through the process. When we talk about scheduling meetings, which is the first step, when we schedule a meeting, if we leave the status at draft the way it is, then the basic meeting information is going to show up out here on the public facing site. And I've seen it in a few documents already, but I just want to kind of reiterate this if you haven't read this yet. The insight page can take up to sometimes 15 minutes before it updates. So when you're doing things in Legistar, like, you know, publishing agendas or even just clicking new and scheduling a meeting, you know, it can take up to 10 to 15 minutes for that public facing website to actually update. So please keep that in mind. All right, so when we talk about scheduling meetings, the default status is draft. Leaving it that, again, the public facing insight page will show the basic meeting information. But at this point in the training, I would point out that there is a status available to you called hidden. And sometimes if you're doing like internal testing and training on a production, in the production database or something like that, you can come in here you know, click new, schedule meeting, and change the status right away to hidden. So hidden is designed to allow you to schedule a meeting and not have that meeting information visible out here on the Insight page. All right. We'll talk about the other statuses as we kind of get to those points in the process. All right, so one of the things about Legistar, if you've been playing around with it, working in it and things like that, you may have noticed that in some areas in Legistar, there's no need to click a save button. And then in other areas, you know, even more specifically, you know, like in the minutes module and things like that, there's times when you have to click save in order for certain changes to take place or get saved in the system. So I just recommend to keep things simple for you. Instead of trying to remember when do I need to click save and when do I not need to click save, just have a best practice of clicking the save button at the top left after you're, you know, putting in information and things like that. All right. On. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I asked Michael this. I'm sure he told me the right answer. I'm creating a meeting and I have the wrong type where it has meeting of the county board of commissioners. There's no way to change that after you create it, is there? And start entering items to it.
When you get into the agenda itself and start working on it, I believe that is not going to be an option. I'll have to actually test that.
Did you try it, Michael, or no?
I haven't seen it be an option to change it once it's created.
Right. And the reason why it shouldn't be an option is because when you select a specific meeting body here, when you first schedule the meeting, when you come to the agendas module and you click the generate button, it is looking in Legistar administration and pulling the template and applying rules to the agenda based on the meeting body that you had initially selected here. So it really should not let you change it, and I believe it does not.
Is this when we're doing special meetings? Marcy, that's got to be the special meeting. When you first create it, that's got to be right there.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. All right. Just to point out here, if you created this by mistake and you don't need it or anything like that, you have, you know, you've got some options up here under edit. If you have the permissions to do so, you will be able to delete a meeting. So just so we're clear on what deleting a meeting actually means. If you delete a meeting, it deletes the agenda and the minutes as well. So agendas and minutes are kind of together packaged and considered the meeting, so that you know.
But not the items?
Correct, not the items. So even if you have items or files on an agenda and you delete the agenda, you delete the meeting, the files do not get deleted from the database. That would be a completely separate process. All right. And you can have permissions to work on an agenda, you know, publish an agenda, but you can, you know, if your administrators and core team decides, they can remove your ability to delete a meeting or agenda. So.
Wait, so what happens? So you have the files hanging out there. How would you get them back on a, they would just be hanging out there with the meeting attached, right?
Yeah, I mean, the files would have in the file itself, there's an agenda date field, and the agenda date would still be there in the file itself. So if you're deleting an agenda that has agenda items on it, you guys should have an internal process in place where you are communicating out, or you are actually going into each item and unlocking it and manually changing the date. You know, part of the issue with that is going to be your coordinators, you know, your staff are not going to be able to go in and edit that file because the file is already completed in approval workflow and ready for the agenda. So if you wanted staff to do that, then you would have, somebody would have to go in and unlock those files for the staff to even be able to go in there and change the date. So probably more of a discussion around process in that type of scenario.
Hopefully nobody will accidentally delete a meeting.
Yeah, hopefully not. I would think that would be a rare case. All right. So that's really kind of the basics of creating, scheduling a meeting in the system. So at this point, and you guys, you know, again, you can tell me how you feel about this. If we're kind of using just one or two agendas as a whole, normally what I would do is I would just go into, you know, the meeting that I had scheduled and kind of been using for the training, and I would go through and kind of show you the functionality of all the different things that you can do to an agenda, including the publishing steps. And then after that, you know, we can dive into one of the other agendas like you created, Cindy, and let you guys get some hands-on. So we can do that, or one of you can go ahead and get into the agenda, Cindy, that you had already created, and you guys can click along as I show you and click along on the screen. So what is your preference?
Well, let's just go through your steps the way you normally would do it.
Okay.
He hasn't done any of this stuff yet.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So agendas module, calendar tab, agenda tab. There's two ways I can get to my agenda. I can either just double click on it right here in the grid while I'm on the calendar tab, or I can select and highlight it and then click the agenda tab. Either way, it brings me to the agenda tab. And I can confirm which agenda I'm in by looking up here at the top. And I always recommend make sure you're in the appropriate agenda. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this here in a few minutes, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to delete this agenda and the reason why I'm doing it, and I'll explain what delete means in a little bit. When you first arrive on the agenda tab for a given meeting, it is going to be gray and blank. So there was already data there because I had already done the first step, which is coming to the agenda tab and coming down here and clicking the generate button. So until you do that, you're always going to be seeing a blank window here. We have to generate the agenda. So the agendas don't generate automatically. At this point, while it's gray, we don't typically spend a whole lot of time talking about this because in administration, you're pre-building out the shells of your various agendas, but you could actually come in here and not click generate and click the add button and actually build an agenda from scratch. That would be very time consuming, and that is why the shells of your agenda and certain rules and agenda definitions are actually pre-built ahead of time, so you don't have to spend a considerable amount of time building these things out from scratch. So that's why the add button is available to you at this moment to allow you to build an agenda from scratch, and rarely does anybody do that. So I'm going to come down and click generate. So just that, so that you kind of understand what happens behind the scenes, and I go through this just a, you know, relatively quick because, you know, some staff who work on agendas may not have been through the needs analysis process, and some staff that work on agendas are not Legistar administrators either. But it's good for staff who work on agendas to just have a basic understanding of what's going on in the system here. So when you click generate, it's going to load in the shell of your agenda, you know, things like call to order, invocation, things like that, headers and sections on the agenda. And then in addition to that, depending on the agenda definitions and the rules that are set up by your administrators, it's going to go ahead and potentially pull in these agenda items automatically and place them more or less where they need to go. Now, there's a lot of other things that kind of impact that process, but one of the general takeaways is going to be if you're generating agendas and consistently some of these items are being put under the wrong sections or wrong headers, then the root cause is probably going to be back in the agenda definitions. So I don't talk about agenda definitions in detail during this training, but I do like to just show it real quick so that those of you who are not administrators and who haven't gone through the needs analysis process just kind of has a basic understanding. So Cindy and Marcy, Cindy, did you go through most of the needs analysis calls and did you attend or watch an admin training video?
I don't think so. Cindy did, Marcy didn't.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, you know, Michael and Darlene and Monica, you know all about this kind of stuff, but it's just good for you guys to have a basic understanding. And we don't spend a lot of time in here because it just gets confusing for you. But just to point out, when I talk about the shell of your agenda being pre-built, that's here in the back end. And that's kind of how, you know, opening ceremonies, call to order, that's how these things are being pulled in when I click generate. The other, you know, there's a lot of other things in here, but we talk about rules and definitions that are kind of defined in here as well. And it's those rules and definitions, among some other things, that tell the system where to automatically place these agenda items and files. So again, if something's pulling in the wrong place all the time, it probably has to do with back here. And you could reach out to, you know, Michael or Darlene or somebody, and they can look into it. So a lot that goes on behind the scenes when you actually click that generate button. And the purpose of that is really to save you time from building this crazy thing from scratch. All right, let's talk about the things that we can do with an agenda and some important takeaways for you. The first thing I talk about, and I'll probably bring it up again a little bit later, just to make sure you remember, when you click the generate button, it's actually taking a snapshot of the data in the database. So I click generate, pulls in these predefined sections and headers, and then at that very second, it's pulling in all the agenda items that have been created and that match those rules and definitions. Now, I say snapshot because if a coordinator or any staff goes in the files module 30 seconds after you click generate, if they create an agenda item and they put this August 1st date in the agenda date field, that agenda item is not going to automatically show up here. So again, when you click generate, it takes a snapshot of the database really at that moment. And if any staff create items right after that or any time after that, those items are not going to automatically pull in here. So this does not update real time. We'll talk about a couple of different things we can do to get those agenda items pulled in, but that's a very important thing to remember. All right, we can delete the agenda entirely, which will allow us to click the generate button again, and we can click the generate button again, and then it will take another snapshot and pull everything in that has been created up to that moment. So if a coordinator went in, you know, 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 2 days after I clicked to generate, and I want to go ahead and start pulling in some of those other items automatically, then I can delete my agenda and regenerate it. Now, we'll talk about certain reasons why you may or may not decide to do that, especially as you get closer to the time of publishing your agenda. But this is really going to be a process discussion for you guys. Whoever's responsible for working on agendas, you may have a process in place where you delete the whole thing and regenerate it a couple of times over a period of days and weeks. And then you're probably going to have a point where you don't do that anymore. And I'll explain why you may not want to do that after a certain point. So to talk about how to delete an agenda entirely, we need to highlight all of the rows. Now, this isn't Microsoft Excel, so I can't do a Control A and highlight all the columns. So a couple things you can do. You can click the top row. You can hold down the Shift key, and then you can click the bottom row, and that'll highlight everything. Or you can click and hold your left mouse and scroll it down. Either way, we need to highlight every single row. And when we click the delete button down here at the bottom left, or if I right click and select delete here, I am not deleting anything from the system. So in other words, I'm not actually deleting agenda items or files or anything else. All it's doing is actually just clearing the grid and allowing me to regenerate the grid again. You're going to get a confirmation. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And now at this point, I will have access to click the generate button again. And then once I do that, it will wind up. That's interesting. Then it'll wind up regenerating again. And then if coordinators or other staff had created new agenda items since I last hit generate, then it will go ahead and pull those in.
Is that instant if somebody's added something? Because I, in my testing, I've added items and they didn't come in, and I've had to go back a few times. And I'm just wondering if that's like right away after they're added.
If they're added correctly, they'll show up.
Right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael makes a good point because they have to be entered correctly in that there's certain things that your coordinators or staff who are creating items, you know, there's certain things they're filling in, like a file type field, and they needed the correct department and things like that. So there's those kind of those rules and definitions I was talking about. You know, what staff and coordinators are doing and what the rules and definitions say have to match. And generally they should. All right. So that's kind of the concept of clicking generate, snapshot, delete the whole thing, generate again, and it'll pull things in automatically. Now there's going to come a point when you're probably not going to want to do that anymore. And the reason is because there's things we can do to the agenda, like drag and drop. We can move things around. We can actually, add header comment rows on the fly, all these things I'm going to show you here in a minute. And if you do some of these things manually, what I kind of consider, you know, cosmetically changing the default agenda that got pulled in when I click generate, it's going to revert back to the default again. So let me show you an example. So dragging and dropping, I can select something, whether it's an agenda item or a section or a header. And I can come over here to this little black triangle, and I can click and hold it, and I can drag it somewhere. And when I do that, it's going to give me a pop-up, you know, move line 10 after 18. Sure, click OK. So that's a manual move I did. The system didn't put it there automatically. When I clicked generate, I moved it there. Another thing you can do is we can add comment or header rows in here. So again, your agenda is predefined in administration with all these different sections and headers and things like that. But if there's some one-offs a couple of times a year, we can add those manually. And I'm going to show you the best and quickest way to do that. If I click on these headers or sections, notice that they have a style number assigned to them. And, you know, like opening ceremony has a style number of 1, invocation 3, etc. So you may wind up having, and this one has a style number of 2. These style numbers are the fonts that are defined for these various sections on the agenda. So when you run the report and publish the agenda, you know, a style number of one and a style number of three are going to look different on the report. So one of the things you want to ask yourself, if you're going to add a section or a header or a comment to an agenda, is what does it need to look like? Which of these existing sections or headers does it need to match? So if I'm going to add something and it needs to match opening ceremonies, the quickest way to do that is to select opening ceremonies, right click, and copy the selected line. That way I know for sure that it's going to look exactly like opening ceremonies on the published agenda, on the report. I'll show you another way we can do it as well. And then at that point, I can just come up to the description field of the one that was just added, and I can just change it. I'm going to add a section, Doug section, for the agenda. I'm going to click save. And then I can go ahead and click and hold the triangle and move it wherever it really needs to be on the agenda. So that is one quick way to add a section, a header, a comment on the agenda. Now, we say header and comment because sometimes you add things to the agenda here that provide information. It's not necessarily a header or a section, but it's information. So like this one as an example. This item is for the introduction only, etc. Or even all comments by speakers at the end, same thing. So that's more of a comment row because it's providing information versus a header row, which is something like invocation and call to order. So that's a pretty quick way to add something. It doesn't change anything that's pre-built or predefined in administration. It's only being added to this one agenda. That's it. So another way we can do it, instead of copying, is we can come down here and kind of click where we want our new header or section to go. And we can come down here and we can click the add button, or we can click the little drop down arrow next to the add button down at the bottom left. Let me just confirm. Can you guys see that down that far?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The drop that is there is not showing.
There we go. So you can do that, or you can just simply right click. So I find right clicking to be a quicker way to get to the same options that you can get down here. And what you'll do is select on the grid and then add before or add after the line that I have highlighted. And even if you add it to the wrong spot, you already know how to drag and drop, so not a big deal. So at this point, I'm adding a completely blank line. Now, when we do this, we have to come up here to this oval, and we have to tell the system, what are we adding? What are we inserting? We can insert an agenda item, a file, or we can insert a header and a comment row. And depending on which one we choose, we'll change a little bit of what we have access to over here. So we'll do agenda item in a little bit, but I'm going to select header comment here. My system's just running slow for some reason. Yeah, it's froze there. There we go. Now at this point, I would need to be mindful of the style number. So I would have to go ahead and select it. And you can see you've got a long list of style numbers, and you can't really tell necessarily what the style number or font truly is just by looking at the list. Could be Arial 12, New Times Roman, you know, 15, things like that. So you really need to know your style numbers, and that's why I think copying an existing row or header or comment is probably the best way to go. But you can do it manually here. Insert the blank line, select header comment, define the style number, and then I can come to description and go ahead and put that in there. And if I wanted to add extra text right underneath that on the published agenda, I could add extra text here. And I need to make sure I click save. So as you can see, that takes quite a bit more time. So right clicking, copying, definitely a quicker way. Now let's say I come up here to invocation, and let's say I accidentally delete invocation. That's definitely, you know, a mistake, right? Well, it's not like Excel. I can't do, you know, Control Z or whatever and do an undo and redo and things like that. I'm gonna have to rebuild it. So what I can do, you know, a couple things I can do. I can go ahead and start off with copying, which I think is the quicker way to go. And when I copy, it's already gonna set header comment. It's already gonna fill that circle in. And now that that circle is there, I actually have access to this header list dropdown. And the header list dropdown actually provides you access to all of the pre-built sections and headers that are in Legistar administration. So you can go ahead and re-add whatever you need to re-add. Now it is a lengthy list. Click save. So a quick way to bring something back. All right, so you have any questions so far?
No.
Okay. All right, well, since we're kind of on this you know, theme of inserting things, let's talk about inserting or manually bringing in agenda items or files. So we've already gone through the process of doing the headers and things like that. So let's say I don't want to delete and regenerate the agenda. Let's say I need to manually pull in an agenda item or a file that goes under, you know, one of these agendas sections here. Maybe it's under consent or you know, items taken separately as an example. So the same steps initially. I want to go ahead and insert a blank line. So I'll right click and I'll do add after. And again, if you happen to put it in the wrong place, you can drag and drop. So this method is going out into the system and manually pulling in one agenda item. So I've got my blank line. I come up here to my oval. This time I want to make sure agenda item is selected because that's what I'm pulling in. I'm not going to be creating a header or a comment. And now that I have agenda item selected, I have access to the file ID field. So go ahead and disregard the plus sign. And here you can start typing in the file ID, you know, 20 dash whatever, or you can click on the drop down and try to find your way through the list. So you'll go out and you'll find the agenda item. You click to select it. It'll show you the information up here, and then we click save. And at that point, I'll see it in the grid. This is a bad example because somebody didn't actually fill in the recommendation or the title.
I think that's for a comp planning item.
Ah, all right.
Based on the number,
gotcha.
Those are comp planning numbers.
All right, I'll just select this one. So that's how I manually pull in one item. So with this process, somebody needs to provide you with the file ID. Otherwise, you're gonna be spending an unnecessary amount of time up here trying to figure out which one you're supposed to bring in. Now there is a scroll bar here. You know, you can scroll over and you can read through the titles and read through some other stuff, but have people provide you the file ID. Now I will make a statement here that when you go to pull in a file or an agenda item, you are not actually looking at every single agenda item or file in the database. So there are circumstances when you may not see a file on the list. So there are things that are done in the back end in administration that define, you know, what meeting bodies have access to what file types. So that could be one reason why you don't see a file here. Another reason could be that agenda item or file had a final action applied to it. So during the minutes process, when staff are doing minutes, a lot of times they're applying final actions, you know, like approved or something like that, something where it's not going to show up on another agenda again. So files or agenda items that have final actions associated to them will also not show up in the list. So just keep that in mind. So there are some variables as far as why you may or may not be able to find a file in the list.
Quick question, are those only files that are assigned to that agenda date?
No, these are not. So the system is built in such a way where it tries to allow you to do whatever you need to do to get that item on the agenda. So chances are 20-983 has a different agenda date in the agenda date field, but the system gives you the power to do whatever you need to get that item on the agenda.
Most of our items will be single use per agenda.
Right, but if somebody gave the incorrect date and they're telling her
the file ID,
she could verify that it's
okay. Preferably, we also modify that one to have the correct date so that it's correct in the file as well.
Okay.
So then we'd have to open that file, that item, and change the date, right?
Yeah.
The meeting date?
You have to unlock it if it was wrong.
That's what I'll show you next. Yep. That's part of the training. Yep, so again, the system allows you to pretty much do whatever you need to. And, you know, as you guys were just kind of talking about, you know, you're gonna, for data integrity purposes, so that your database and everything within the database has the correct information and data, we do want to go in and change the agenda date. You're exactly right. Yes, you can pull it in here, get it on the agenda to get the agenda published, what have you, but you're going to want to change the agenda date, because the agenda date within a file, not only do we want it correct for data integrity purposes, but that agenda date within the file is also visible to the public. So if we don't change it, you know, it's on one agenda, but then the agenda date field, when the public looks at it in meeting details, says something different. So I got to this file by double clicking on it in the grid. So you can double click on any agenda item or file, brings you into the files module. And under normal circumstances, unless it's in draft status, it will be locked. So you're going to want to unlock it in order to make your change. And then you're going to want to make sure you relock it again before you get back out, unless it's in draft status, because you don't want staff going back in there. So again, this is in draft, it's already unlocked, but this is where you would go if it was locked. I would click unlock, make your change, make sure you relock it again, and then click go back. So this is another scenario where we have to click go back to get out of the file.
But does changing the status to agenda ready lock it?
We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. That's a different part of the training here. So we'll get to that process here soon. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and delete this off of here. I don't want it on here. All right. So we can also use a different method for bringing in, manually pulling in agenda items. And so what we'll do is, again, kind of come down, select where you want these to go. Now let's say they're business items. I'm going to right click, and this time I'm actually going to select add many lines. And this opens up a different interface. So on the left, I'm going to see, again, same concept. It's not going to be every agenda item in the system. Only the ones that, again, kind of meet those criteria. I cannot search or sort here, so keep that in mind. But again, you're going to need the file ID. You need to ask staff to give you the file ID. And you can come in here and you can use your shift and control keys to bring in as many items as you need to. Some clerks, some staff who work on agendas prefer this method either way, even if they're just bringing in one agenda item. Sometimes they just prefer this here. If you have the file ID though, it's probably better to do it the other way. But either way, it's entirely up to you. If it's just one item, you can do either process. And if it's multiple, I guess you could do the other way too, just take you longer. Click the black arrow, pulls them in, and there they are. And of course, you can drag and drop if for some reason they got pulled into the wrong spot. So to close the side view, I'm going to hit this red X here. All right, same thing, data integrity, to make sure the public is seeing the correct information when this is published. You know, you're probably going to want to go in and change the date, unless they do have the correct agenda date and you're just manually pulling them in because you had decided that you don't want to delete and regenerate the whole thing again. So you don't necessarily have to go in and change information or data in the agenda item. It just depends.
I think you're going to do a lot of this.
That's like if you have a last minute item and somebody other department adds it, they'll give you that file ID and you can do it that way.
Yeah, because you and I already have done a lot of manual edits throughout this.
Yes.
Delete it and regenerate.
That is correct. And the manual edits, you know, that's a good way to look at it. So, you know, I added Doug's section, Cindy's section. I dragged this under here. I just manually added these here. So I've done a lot of stuff in here. And if I go ahead and select this, let me My system is running a little slow here. So if I delete this, Doug's section, Cindy's section, the two items I just pulled in, 2014-60, all that's going to revert back to what the default initially was. So I'll delete that, hit generate, and we're basically back where we started. So that's really where you're going to have this process for yourself that basically says, I'm going to delete and regenerate this thing up to a certain point, and then up to that certain point, I'm going to go ahead and start doing my manual moves and all the things that I need to do manually to get this thing ready to go. Once I start doing those, I'm not going to want to delete and regenerate because then I'd have to do those all over again.
Excuse me just a minute. So Cindy, would that be used for like if she's changing the location of an agenda item?
If she's moving it from like consent to business section?
Yeah, or just changing the order that they're in the business section.
No, that would be like for adding, but if you move it, then you have to go in and update the section and the item itself. Mm-hmm. So it's right in the database.
Correct. Yep.
Talk about adding an item so you don't have to redo all the stuff you've already done. Like the item numbers and the consent agenda and all that stuff would go back to the basic template.
Okay. Move it from one section to another. Let's say out of consent into business just so that it matches on the site as well. But again, it doesn't update automatically.
So. All important things for any staff who work on agendas to kind of understand. And all the stuff I'm showing you, I had mentioned before, we don't provide user guides for agendas and minutes because all this functionality is standard for all customers. And our online user guide describes all of this stuff, and I'll show you how to get there. All right, so let's kind of recap. We talked about quite a bit. We talked about the generate button, how to delete and regenerate it again. We added lines, we added many lines, we copied a line, we deleted a line, We know we have some of those options down here. If I click on this little add button, which is probably cutting off a little bit for you guys down there. We talked about the importance of the oval up here. If you're, you know, if you're adding a line before or after, we need to be telling the system, what are we adding? A header comment row. We add an agenda item or a file instead. Another thing to talk a little bit about is the numbering. And we'll actually do it here in a little bit, but the only things that can be numbered, auto-numbered, which is this button down here, are the agenda items themselves. So how these number is actually kind of defined in Legistar administration. Ginger kind of set that up based on your conversations. What does not get auto-numbered are anything that is a header, comment, or section. So if those require letters, numbers, Roman numerals, whatever it is, they either need to be pre-built in Legistar administration in that shell that we saw before, or you can select them here in the grid, and then you can come up to the item field and you can type something in there. And you can put special characters in here, you know, whatever you need to. So again, headers, sections, those do not auto number. If you need them numbered or anything like that, either defined in Legistar administration, or you can do it on the fly here using the item number field. All right.
Public comment and approval of the minutes. To just type that in there.
I didn't hear the full question.
Because we've been going back and forth with this, with the approval of minutes and agenda.
Those need to be up because they're numbered, unless we weren't going to number them.
But he just
saying you can number a header in that field right there.
But the numbering for the rest of the items won't start back. Let's say it's number 3. The next number won't be 4, it'll be 1.
Oh, you can't get those to start on number 4?
No.
I'll show you auto number here in just a second. Actually, I can go ahead and do it now. So come down, click the auto number button. You're going to get a pop-up message that says, are you sure you want to auto number the history lines? Yes. And now anything that is a file or an agenda item based on how it was set up in administration will auto number the files. Now remember, this grid does not auto update, and that also includes auto numbering. So if I move this after I auto number, let's say I move it up one, notice it does not re-auto number everything. So I would need to go ahead, if I'm moving stuff around after you auto number, that's perfectly fine. You just need to come back down and hit auto number again, and then it'll go ahead and refresh it and auto number it accordingly.
So if we make those 1 through 3, 1 through 4 items not numbered items on the agenda, then we can make them always generate with the agenda. But if they need to be numbered items, we would have to have them as an agenda item, so a file. Of some sort.
Which is why we decided you were copy and paste.
Well, how did they do it with zoning?
I think they're items, aren't they?
They are items, to my knowledge, yeah. I don't know how
they're going to try to figure out how to do it
through
the API. But no. I think she's copying and pasting, right?
I think Ginger set those up till we show up.
Oh.
We did request that to get those set up similar to the BCP, but it helped.
Okay.
All right.
So, Doug, are you familiar with how to make items a constant so that they always show up as an item?
Say that again.
So those first three items, open ceremonies, call to order, and invocation, Every agenda. And they need to be an item because they need to have an item number.
No. No. Approval of the minute. Those don't get numbers.
Okay. I'll let Cindy speak.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We have the three items that come in for every meeting. It's number one should be public comment. Two would be approval of the minutes, and then three would be approval of the agenda that is on every single meeting, but they have item numbers on them.
So okay, item numbers as in the 1-2-3s or the file IDs or both?
No, the 1-2-3s.
Okay.
So Ginger was able to make them auto-generate as an item?
They can't, no. I don't believe so. When we click generate, it's auto-generating the agenda shell based on agenda definitions in the back end. But anything that's a file is going to have to be initially created in the files module in order to pull in. Now I know, you know, when we do training tomorrow, let me pull this up here.
Yeah, we'll have to have them show you that because Ginger did something that is generating them automatically.
Yeah, so there are, so she provided instructions, I believe, where you're going to go into the files. Actually, it's in the document, I think, that Michael created as far as comp planning goes. But if they need to be files, then they need to be created in the files module. So under those circumstances, you're clicking new, you're creating a file here, and then you're just copying and pasting text into the title field directly. And then once you click, you know, once you assign the appropriate agenda date, then you can go in, click the generate button, and it'll automatically pull those in as a file.
A numbered item without having to do the agenda report, right?
Yeah, without doing the agenda report.
You wouldn't run the report on it. You wouldn't attach anything to those items.
No, correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's optional. Yeah.
Just the title box needs that text in it.
Yep.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Yeah. And yeah, Darlene sent me a document last night. I started reading through it this morning. And Michael, if you're the one that created the doc, I don't know who created the document, but in the document for comp planning, it does talk about bringing in those sections, and it's all about creating the file here.
Oh, so they didn't set anything up then. Yeah, if Grant ever gets any free time, we'll look at trying to create a tool to generate those.
Okay, so we are going to have to copy those items every meeting.
Yeah. Or create new ones.
Right.
Copy or create.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, correct. Okay. Good discussion. Did
these three items here? We're gonna have to ask for every meeting or create it. It'll be easy. Just more steps.
Yeah, the copy feature in the files module would probably be the best thing to do because it copies that title text, and then you just have to put in the agenda date and call it good.
Well, and we could copy many, right? And just have like a standard one we use every time because it won't change. And we could just copy it, those file IDs for every meeting.
Yeah, you'd have to copy them, you know, individually one at a time, but yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought you could do copy many.
No, you can add many lines, but not copy many lines or copy many files.
Okay.
And another thing to consider too, if the BCC isn't going to take any action on those, if they're just simply there so that there's basically kind of that information on the agenda and so that it's numbered, if if there's no action being taken on them, any kind of motions or votes or anything like that, you could probably just go in and change the agenda date and click generate, and it'll pull it in on the next agenda without even having to copy. So that's something that you could test real quick as well. So that's an option.
The one that they do take action on, which is the approval. They're not voting on, right? So those two,
on the invocation, if it's the water district, the first board meeting of the month,
you just delete that header from
there. You just delete that one.
And as for getting the water district's agenda in, that's another process.
No, I'm not even talking about that. Not going there, Mike.
I haven't even gone there yet because it's.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do, just you've got a training database, try out a couple different scenarios and see which one makes the most sense for you. Did you guys want to take like a 10-15 minute break, or are you guys good to still kind of hammer through the next hour?
I'm fine.
Let's get it done.
Gotcha. All right.
We can go on.
All right, let's go on. Perfect. Okay. So another thing to talk about, we'll come back and redo auto number again in a second here, but there's going to be situations, I know this is true for comp planning and probably here too, that some of these items don't make it through the approval process. So I can already tell, at this point, I've got an agenda here. One has made it through the approvals. I got four currently going through approvals, and I have one sitting here like in a draft status. So that comp planning document that, Darlene, that you sent me yesterday, who created that document, by the way?
Nicole created it.
Okay. So Nicole has some great steps in there. So she also talks about how to do a batch update on your files. And that's what we want to do. So if you're in a scenario where we need to publish the agenda and you don't really care if these finish going through approvals or not, then we can do a batch update in the files module and we can change all of the statuses to agenda ready. So I'm going to show you how to do that.
Okay. Can I ask a question about that? If we batch update to make it agenda ready, that doesn't lock the sequence.
No, it doesn't.
So anybody who still had an email could get in there and make modifications.
Unless you manually locked it. But so that's, I don't know if you guys talked through that with Ginger or not, when you were talking about the comp planning and things like that. But there may be some additional manual stuff that you're going to have to do to those files to really get them where they need to be.
Yeah, so I don't think she can do a mass update because she's gonna.
I think they'll just have to go in and delete it from their workflows.
Yeah, so we can do. So comp planning doesn't have a sequence they have to deal with. We do. So we'll have to go in and end those sequences if there's one still running.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Here, I was just gonna.
And then another.
Another reason why to have the agenda date correct. So we'd already talked about, if you pull in an item and it's got the wrong date, go into the agenda item, go into the file, put in the correct agenda date. The other benefit to that too is it helps you with your searching in the system. And this is just good for you guys during agenda training anyway. So it's not uncommon for clerks, agenda coordinators, whoever it may be, to go into the files module and just do a search on an agenda date. And this is a great example. So when I generated my agenda, there was only like 6 or 7 items on it. But when I go into the files module and do a search on my agenda date, I actually come up with 14 items. And part of that is just because of where we were, where you guys were at as far as back-end configurations and other configurations. But you know, one of the reasons why is because, you know, the controlling body and things like that. But this can be a great way for you, the person who works on agendas, to get the full picture. Because if staff, if coordinators aren't creating the items correctly, or there's some kind of issue with how the agenda definitions are in the back end, then when you click generate, you may not necessarily be seeing all of the agenda items that really would be on your agenda. So very common to come into the files module and just do a search on an agenda date. This is a really great grid because I can, you know, click and sort, and I can scroll through, and I can see a lot of information here pretty fast.
Marcy, when you're doing a search like that, you'll want to filter it by the body as well, because otherwise you'll get all of the planning commission items as well.
Yep. Nice thing about the grid, and here I can show you that too. So if you if we go back to close, so instead of just a blanket agenda date, you know, I can go ahead and add an additional filter here. We'll just do the BCC and the agenda date, and then we'll go ahead and click search. So again, if staff are not creating the items correctly, or if there's an issue with the agenda definitions in the rules, again, when you click generate, you may or may not be seeing all of the items that belong on that agenda. So this is, again, a great way to get a true snapshot of items that staff have created for the August 1st date, as an example. And then from here, and of course, I can see the different file statuses right away. I can just click on, double click on one of these in the grid, and I can go directly to that. And when I do that, the beauty of it is it still saved my search results. So I can use these arrows to just go one by one and take a look at each of the items. So when you click on, double click on an item from the grid, it still saves your results. So at this point, I'm still looking at just my search results.
Can you go to the fifth one, the last item? And then click on the details tab? Because one of them didn't have a department in it. I was going to show Marcy how if it doesn't have a department on the details tab, it won't show up on the agenda.
That should happen for most of the users.
But it's happened to me a lot in testing. Yeah. And just so you know, if
you're training me and you're showing me what departments aren't done, or you know what I'm saying? If the process is done or not done, and everybody's done what they're supposed to do, go through the flow of approval.
Well, on this,
oh, it was at 1489
screen one? Here, the search result, you can actually see what department it is. One of the columns is the department.
See, there's nothing on the details tab on that 1489.
So you can see that they've got something wrong, which.
Okay. That last one?
Yeah.
Yep. And these are ones.
So if you scroll over and there's nothing under the department, then it's not going to show up on the agenda if there's nothing under the department.
Okay. Okay. Oh. And how would that be blank like that? Why
it
wouldn't
shouldn't
it fill
be,
in?
But
it shouldn't be if it's set their local settings.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's something that you guys need to remember is, you know, and I mentioned it during the training, and you'll definitely want to mention it when you train staff. The department is a key factor in getting the agenda sorted correctly and pulling things in. And, you know, if a staff person forgets to set their local settings department, then, you know, that could become an issue.
So other than knowing, like, and reading the file subject, then you would know what department it was based on what the subject is. With the file title. Then we could go back to that department and tell them that they need to set that file.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to tell who entered it or not.
Yeah, not who entered it, but you know what department.
Yeah, you can tell who entered it. Yeah.
It's the detail tale. Can I have
This is a bad example, but in the enter bio, there will be the staff person's email address.
Wrong email on it. So.
And you can also go down here to the last edit button and go to the very first date and time, and that'll show you the user ID of the person who created it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of user info we need to fix. So emails is one of them. Sequences we've still got to update. We basically got to do an audit all over again. So.
I'll help you. Okay.
So the real time consuming thing will be going update.
Let's wait till after all the retirements. 420 people retiring.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
See, I heard there's 1,000, so that's better.
You two know that Skip's retiring, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's taking his place?
We're not sure. Victor might be the one, but Skip's not sure because of how his flight attendant, like the airport or something, but he wasn't sure when he was telling me that. So.
All right.
So yeah, that's fun.
Okay, we're ready.
So I went through the process of doing a batch update. So you know, we had one agenda ready, I think like 3 or 4 going through approvals and one draft. And because the system still saved my search results, and I can tell there's this little hand that points to the right. If I click on it, it'll bring you back to that grid. So I've got 5 results here. I went in, still have my 5 results. You can go up to tools. It's just running a little bit slow here. I guess it's running very slow. Wow.
Welcome to our world.
Well, I did run into connectivity issues briefly yesterday. So tools at the very bottom is batch file update. These are all of the fields that you can batch update, one of which is the status. And you select agenda ready and you click update, and then it'll kind of show you a progress bar here. It does ask for confirmation. Are you sure? So to Monica's point though, you know, yes, we got all of the files statuses changed to agenda ready. So that, you know, that's a good thing, but you've still got active approvals going on. You know, the files don't automatically lock when you manually set the status to agenda ready or something different. So, you know, you would still, as a best practice and things like that, you would still probably want to come in here and probably even cancel the approval trackings and, you know, come up here and click the lock button so that it locks. But that's how you do a batch update if you need to.
So would it be better to, I don't know, this is where I'm not sure, delete it from workflow or lock it or?
If it's still on workflow and you need to be finalizing the agenda, you'd want to cancel it.
Cancel it. How do I do that?
The cancel button would be available.
Here, let me get to one that was actually going through approvals. So you click on the approval tracking tab, you would come down here and you would click the cancel button. And that'll cancel the approval workflow and it'll unlock it from being in an approval workflow. And then, but you want to do that first before you do the batch update, because if you do the batch update and then you click cancel, it'll actually change the status to approval canceled. So you want to do that step before you do the batch update.
Okay, thank you.
And just keep in mind that when you cancel, the creator of the item, as well as any approvers that have been involved up to that point, will also get a notification. So
Okay. Well, they should have done it sooner.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's how they'll learn. They keep getting those messages.
Yeah.
My calls mercy.
All right.
I've
been telling them 10 o'clock is still going to be their cutoff, but they'll have, if they get something in, they'll have from 10 to noon to try to get it done.
To get it approved.
Yeah. So.
And their agenda item attached, because at noon, I'm done with everybody.
Yeah. I've been telling them, so hopefully they all understand that.
They have to.
My deadlines are crazy.
Yeah. They have no idea what you have to do afterwards or what impacts are on her.
So with both the coordinators and the approvers, if approvers get a hold of the coordinator that you need to change and you aren't comfortable making the change, coordinators, I don't know if I've really been telling them, but they should know to try to get it through or not at that point. So.
Yeah, I think they'd get that.
Yeah, Michael emphasized that in both the drafter and the approver trainings. So.
All right. So just kind of showing you again real quick, you know, you can come in and manually update this stuff. And again, best practice, you know, make sure to lock it or relock it again so that staff can't get in there and make changes. So, you know, things are a little bit weird here right now. We went in, we did some batch updating and stuff. You know, some of the grid doesn't quite, you know, auto update. So if I come in here, delete the agenda, regenerate it again, it should take that new snapshot and just make sure that everything is accurately reflected here. I think I went in and canceled all the approval workflows. I guess I missed one. So again, just to reiterate, this grid does not auto update. So, you know, if you're going to be going in and doing batch updates and things like that, you know, the status may not show agenda ready. It may still show it's going through the approvals or something like that. So, you know, the only way to get it to truly refresh would probably be to regenerate again. But just a few nuances. All right. So I think at this point, we've kind of gone through pretty much everything you can do or that you may want to do to your agenda. And now, you know, I usually segue in before we talk about the specific steps to publish an agenda, a couple of other things to talk about. First is another status that is available to you. So you go to the calendar tab, you know, our agendas and draft status. Another option for you is the status of closed. So if I select closed, then staff will not be able to create a new agenda item and select the August 1st agenda date. Now, the thing to keep in mind is that's only for new items that are created after I change it to closed. So if they already created it and selected this date and I click close, it's still considered on the agenda basically. Whether the agenda item is going through approvals or in draft, it doesn't really matter. So changing to closed is only going to affect new agenda items that are created from this point going forward. So they will get a message that says that agenda is closed. It'll blank out the agenda date field. They will not be able to select that agenda date. They will not even be able to manually type it in. So that's kind of your cutoff, if you will. So you can change it to close and click save. Then at that point, done deal. If somebody needs to create an item and get it on this agenda, you can't even select that date either, even as an administrator. So usually what clerks do, usually what staff does is they, you know, they'll come in here and change it back to draft real quick, let the person, you know, click new, get the agenda date on there, and then close it back up again.
I hope nobody else does anything in the meantime.
Yeah. Now, when we talk about publishing the agenda, you know, we're going to change the status once again to final. So closed, final, and even final revised, all three of those will prevent staff from creating new items and putting it, assigning it to that agenda date. So all three of those act the same way. So you're probably going to come into the agenda and change the status to closed, you know, at some point, you know, a couple of days or so before you actually publish.
Right.
All right. The other thing is reports. So, you know, at any time you can run the BCC agenda report. You know, we're going to go to the report and do a couple of specific things once we're ready to publish it, but you can always come in here and run the report at any time. You can also come in here and, you know, create the agenda packet at any time as well. So I pull up reports just to point out, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this if you've been in here at all, that we have all these different checkboxes. And you guys are going to have a specific checkbox configuration that you're going to want when you actually publish the agenda. Well, these checkboxes can be changed. Each user can change their own checkboxes. So that's something to keep in mind. Everybody needs to come to an agreement on which boxes need to be checked for publishing agendas. And everybody needs to make sure those are set and save settings. So that way, when we publish the agenda, everybody is publishing a consistent looking agenda. So these can be changed on a user by user basis. Do you guys, how do you have the checkboxes set up when you publish agendas? Have you guys kind of talked through that? I'm sure you have.
We have to have
Cindy's the boss on this.
Should be at least the agenda notes, keep sections together.
Attachments?
No, we don't list attachments.
Okay, so take that out.
We don't show file ID, we don't show cover.
It's only show agenda notes and keep sections together.
Status is useful if you want your app watermark.
Yeah, if you're printing out for agenda review.
Show agenda notes and what? And keep draft together.
So show agenda status if you want draft watermark. Show agenda notes and keep sections together.
Okay.
What was the first one, Michael?
Show agenda status.
If you want the draft watermark, just
okay. Right here. We will show agenda status.
And keep in mind, if you changed the status, here we go.
Oops. Will show up at the final, so if you just leave that first one checked, it won't hurt anything.
Okay.
All right. So again, can come in here, run the report anytime you want to. We're not publishing it or anything. You know, you can come in. You can also create the agenda packet anytime you want to.
We want to try to get to the point where you guys can just send that file to the print shop. That's my hope, and for, especially for you guys with everything that you've got to do with this.
All right, and that just happened. I just happened to do the packet there. All right, so at this point, we're ready to just talk about publishing the agenda. So there's three steps we typically take when we publish an agenda. And each one of those steps does different things in and around and outside the system. So a part of this walkthrough real quick is going to explain what those different steps do. And some of those steps impact the public-facing site, some of them don't. all of the steps have things kind of going on, you know, behind the scenes, but let's just kind of walk through these. So we want to make sure we're on the appropriate agenda. So I'm going to go to my Granicus one, and just to make sure, correct one, and calendar tab. I'm going to change the status of my agenda to final and click save. So what's important to note, just this step alone will actually activate the meeting details link. So just by changing the status of an agenda to final, it releases the agenda data. We haven't done the PDF yet or anything, but again, up to 15 minutes later, it could take that long for the meeting details to show up out here on the website, but changing the status to final will activate the meeting details link, among some other things, you know, behind the scenes. Now, and it also locks the agenda as well. You have access to unlock it if you need to come back in here and make updates. You would just click unlock, you know, make your updates, you know, lock it back up again, and maybe even change, maybe even change it to final revised if you're using that status. All right, so step two, we recommend doing the export step in step two. So what we're gonna do, and I always recommend just, you know, get out of the grid, you know, get into the agenda tab, you know, make sure you're in the right agenda. You don't have to, I just kind of recommend doing that. But we can go to tools, and I'm not gonna do this step, and I'm not even sure your training database even points to Media Manager, but you would go to tools and you would select export data. So that takes your agenda, all the agenda information, all the attachments, all the supporting documents, and it basically uploads it to Media Manager, at which point, you know, you can use the streaming solution, you can use iLegislate, you can use Live Manager during the meeting to take during meeting minutes, all that kind of stuff. And I recommend doing this on step two, because if you do it on step C, sometimes people do that as the last step, and you know, they change the status to final, then they come in here and they run and publish the agenda and things like that, and sometimes they'll forget. You know, they'll think, oh gosh, I've already published the agenda, I ran the report, the status is final, and sometimes they'll actually forget to go back and do the export step, because export doesn't really, you know, make that direct connection to getting that published agenda out there on the Insight page and things like that. So I always recommend doing the export step second, just so that you don't forget. And then step, you know, then the next step would be going to your BCC agenda report or whichever report it is, making sure you've got those check marks appropriate. Coming up here to the drop down and selecting Publish to Insight Calendar and clicking run. And that will open up, you know, depending on what browser, your default browsers and things like that, it just ultimately opens up the published agenda PDF format in a browser typically. So if you needed to, you could download it from here or print it as well. And again, just a reminder that it can take up to, you know, 15 minutes for these hyperlinks to get active out here. So again, steps would be one, calendar tab, status to final. I recommend step two being tools and export data. And then step three would be, you know, going in and publishing to Insight. I have one more thing to show you, but any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay. So if you come in here and you, let's say, and I recommend you do this until you're, you know, confident that the system is you know, going to be pushing out a PDF that looks exactly the way you want it. So I always recommend come in here, run this Acrobat format PDF, run this first before you publish, just so that you're sure it looks exactly how you want it to look. Now, if I scroll through here, this thing is being quite stubborn. If I scroll through here and I'm like, you know what, this section 3, I want that on the next page. You can actually come into the agendas module. You can even do it in the minutes module, and you can insert a page break to push stuff to the next page. And to do that, of course, I have to come back in, unlock it since I'd locked it. And let's see, where was that at again? I got so many different ones here at the end of end consent here. All right. So if I want to push this to the next page in my PDF, what I can do is come in here to the grid and I can right click and add a blank line in between end consent agenda and then before where I want the page break. And then I come up here to the description field and I can type in page break, all lowercase, and click save.
Moxie, this is where you would add that to put things to the next page for headings.
Mm-hmm. Now keep in mind too that, you know, you've got some you've got a customized BCC agenda report here. So there are certain things that, you know, you may be doing or that may be happening, you know, in the location field, things like that. But also, you know, our designers have hard coded some stuff potentially in your report as well. And sometimes when you insert a page break, it doesn't behave the way you expect it to. And the other thing is it could create, you know, some white space. So you just have to kind of keep that in mind. But now if I go ahead and run this report, now it should push that to the next page.
You also want to do page breaks at the very end after review, because if you reorder something, they could, they're all the ones you did off.
Oh yes, we know.
Wow, that's huge. All right, there we go. So it did take it and it moved it to the next page.
Okay, but scroll down now to see if it impacted anything else.
Exactly.
They yep. could. Yeah, and absolutely could. So, but things to keep in mind. Yeah. So that's a tool for you to use. Doesn't mean you have to, not required, of course. Now that page break will make its way into the minutes. So whoever's working on minutes will probably, you know, have to move it or remove it, because by the time they put in all the minutes and all the discussion notes and everything else that goes into the minutes report, you know, it's going to change the length of it again anyway. But do keep in mind that the page breaks do initially make their way over to the minutes document, but they can be moved or deleted from there.
Will that throw out the numbering, Michael?
No. It's just a header that doesn't show up to the public.
And it won't throw out the page numbers either?
No.
Okay.
You might end up with a document that was initially an even page number document, so it doesn't need a white page after the agenda, to an odd page one where it needs the white page to make it even, so the rest of the agenda works out on the book.
All right. Well, that's a lot. So that's going through everything. Some good discussions from you guys. And at this point, we've got about 35 minutes or so left, so we can turn around and I don't know if I could switch presenter over to one of your PCs or not. I don't know. We'd have to start the go-to meeting there, but we can go ahead and have you guys kind of work on an agenda yourselves if you want. I can go through stuff again. It's really up to you.
I have one question for you. So after I've published my agenda, and then say they have an addendum, so I go in and revise it. I'm adding an item. Is that going to show up live on the details, or can I change it the status to hidden while I'm doing that?
I probably wouldn't recommend changing it to hidden just from a transparency perspective. You might wind up getting calls if somebody catches the fact that the agenda details were out there and then they suddenly aren't. But if you make addendums or edits to a published agenda, you can come in, you can unlock it, you know, make your change. You can even manually pull in an agenda item if you need to, whatever it may be. Typically, we're leaving the status left to final, or changing it to final revised, depending on what your process is. But you definitely want to make sure you do the remaining two steps, though. You want to re-export the data again because you want to make sure you're pushing the most recent updated data to Media Manager, and you're also going to want to rerun and republish that PDF report as well so that that's updated.
Are you changing the header at that point to say?
Yeah, I'll be changing the header. I'll have to redo it. I've done one with an addendum. I don't remember which meeting it was, the test one that I did. But what my question is, when I'm adding that item at the last minute and I put the meeting date in there, will it show up on the details or not? Or do I have to republish it for it to show up on the details? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what you just
said. I'm just saying, like, if it's in draft form and it's not ready to be out there yet. The new item that I'm adding.
Yeah. And you got a couple different angles to that too. You actually won't be able to pick the agenda date. If you have to go in and click the new button to create a new item, you will have to change the status back to probably draft for a brief period of time in order to even select this agenda date. But just think of it this way: if you do any changes to the agenda, just make sure you're redoing the steps. You know, if the status is already final or final revised, then of course the status is fine. It's final or final revised, but you would still want to do re-export data and republish your PDF report.
So if when I put it to draft while I'm working on it, the public won't see what I'm doing, right?
Well, they're still going to have access to the published PDF that you threw out there.
Right.
And the meeting details link could still be active. It could take up to 15 minutes for the meeting details link to actually be inactive out there on the site. So if you're going in and doing it relatively fast, chances are it's not going to drop off the site anyway. As far as the meeting details, I think this is what you're trying to get at, the meeting details link itself. When you click on meeting details, this will update real time. So if you create a new item, give it the agenda date and things like that. If the agenda item is in draft status, they shouldn't be seeing it out here.
Okay, so it shouldn't show up until it's agenda ready?
Right. Something glitched or something was happening with the system, if by chance something did show up out here, the only thing that they would see would be the title information. The hyperlink would be grayed out. They wouldn't have any way to click on it to actually get in to see the Word template report or attachments or anything else. But if there is some kind of glitching going on, they might see the recommendation, but they wouldn't be able to drill down further. So I have heard of that happening before. That actually brings up one other thing to show you or talk about. When you're working on an agenda in the system here, if you go to tools, there's an option here that says delete published agenda from calendar. And if you select that, what it's referring to is just the PDF. Just the PDF agenda. And that process could take up to 15 minutes.
Yeah, never delete that once we've put it out there.
Yeah, so the way to delete it immediately is for you to actually sign in with the appropriate permissions, which Cindy, I know you do at least because you've already been out there adding documents manually. But with the appropriate permissions, if you sign in and go to a meeting details tab, and I'll just pick one of these, you'll actually have a delete link right next to the PDF. So this, you know, if you publish a PDF agenda out of here and it's got something critical in it that you need off this site, if you do the unpublish in LegiStar, it could still take a while. So you can log in, click delete right here, and it'll be removed just like that.
Okay.
And then just the final segue, this is where, and Cindy, you already know how to do this because you did it already, but at the agenda level, you can also add a new file. So you can add additional attachments out here at the meeting level by clicking add new file. And you could actually literally override the PDF that LegiStar publishes for the agenda and the minutes. You could override it with something manually here as well. And this is also where you upload your final action, which we'll cover during the minutes process. So other is what you would select if you were adding something to, I won't do it because this is a different meeting, but select other, click select, navigate to your document, click upload. And then once that's finished, then right next to the attachments field tab or field here, that attachment will be there.
Marcy, that's right. When I did my test, I added the items with the agenda numbers on them. So if you go to the August
15th? Yeah, I think it was August, this one here.
August 13th.
Yeah, it's the staff reports with item number. All right, so that is literally it. A couple extra minutes there.
March 20th is the one you did. It's an addendum. If you want to look
at that. I think there was one I just did recently.
You just did it last week, didn't you?
Yes, this.
Okay. Is that the email we just got?
All right.
What's the thing on that that you just brought up?
Other questions?
Any other questions?
Nope.
No, I think I'm good. Oh, yeah, it was the August 13th when I did the addendum on.
All right.
So if we run the report on that, it should show up. And... Oh, I got the. That's what I got too.
We you may have to take a screenshot of that and get it to Brian to.
Oh, my. I think it's because I was already in the process of doing it. So mine, it came up on mine just now.
Those two people shouldn't run the report at the same
time. Did we literally click that at the same time? Within seconds?
So yeah, that's the one I did. I did the regular meeting and then I went in and added an item as an addendum.
Oh, I see. So you're changing, you're either adding or changing the first header or section on there? Or you?
Yeah, there's the location field.
Yeah.
Revised agenda.
Perfect. Nice.
I don't know. I have it all on my notes at my desk.
Yeah, that's the location field. Revised agenda, including addendum.
And I added number 39. And then I was able to just type addendum in the text box. So it shows up on the agenda cover sheet, but not the agenda item. I'm sorry. To do the addendum item?
Right.
And went in and added it in the text box, in the yellow box, the title box.
Uh-huh.
So it shows up on the agenda cover sheet, but it doesn't show up on the agenda item, which is how we want it.
Okay.
It'll show up on the site, though.
Which item was it again?
39.
Come down here.
So if you go into the item, open the item in the text box, I put the word addendum so that that shows up on our posted cover sheet. And then see up there in the title box. And then it doesn't.
Yeah, you
and then it doesn't show up on the agenda item.
Nice.
How we want.
Yep.
It'll show up on the item on the site.
No, it won't. Because that doesn't copy over the item.
No,
the item copies to that.
On the site, it does.
So let's look at the site.
Michael on the site.
It's kind of weird. So on that view of it, it's there, but if you go
can
on
you
to the
click
item,
on the file ID on 39? Click on the the file ID and open the item.
Still not there. So that's an interesting way to handle
that. That's why I did it that way. So it shows up on the cover sheet, but not the item.
Until someone reports that as a bug.
No, that's how we do it. That's how I want it.
That is how it works, because you're literally not adding the word to the dot dot title, which is hidden within the template. You're just throwing it into the box.
Right. We don't want it on the agenda staff report.
Yeah, within the Word template itself, you've got those dot dots that are in there. And
right. So that's the way I want it.
Yeah.
So it only shows for that one item that was.
It only shows on this, the posted agenda document,
no.
Not the staff report.
Shows on one of the list views. When you're looking at the list of all the items, it shows on that view. But drill into it, it's not there.
Yeah, fine.
It's just weird. One is pulling from one place and the other is pulling from the other.
Yep, has to do with that dot dot within the template.
Well, I was wondering, is there a way to automatically, you know, when they go in and update their recommendation field, instead of having to ask them yes or no to make it say yes? Because it should automatically.
No, unfortunately, it's designed that way. It's really just to bring it to their attention, because it is possible that they made a mistake and didn't mean to modify the recommendation. So
then they would delete it out of their staff report and say that.
Well, they're not going to be doing that to an addendum item.
No, any of their items. If they up
If they change anything in the staff report, it should automatically update them.
That's why it's notified, hey, you changed something in the recommendation. Do you want to then change that?
Right.
That you in Legistar.
And if they say no, it's not going to match.
Yeah. So that's why they have to say yes. But automatically.
Yeah, unfortunately, that we can't change anything related to the pop-up message.
Well, if they say no, it's on them.
That's why I do the last step to make sure everything's correct. It's their item, they got to own it.
All right, what else? Any questions? Did you want to do some practice, or did you want to call it good 20 minutes early and practice when you get a break, a day or two break? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we'll work at, we'll practice.
Cindy and I will work together on what to do it. I want her to be comfortable with it and have a good grasp on it before she has to turn around and explain it to me, because she already had to do that once. And this time I want her to be a little more comfortable.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else right now.
We can try to turn your notes and your instructions into something more like what I have for the coordinators and approvers.
Yeah, I'm still trying to final. I'm still going through it, so. No, I think we're good.
Are both of you in this afternoon's minutes training, or is that a different group?
Different group.
Okay. Well, let me just show you real quick. When you're in Legistar, there's a help button up here. I don't know if you've been here already. The first option is Legistar Help Topics. This will bring you to our support center, or you can just open up a browser and just type in support.granicus.com. But when you're in Legistar, it tries to figure out where you're at and provide you with a generalized document or information related to where you are. But once you get here, you can always just click the home button. And when you're on the home screen of our support center under Gov Meetings, you will find Legistar. And that is the Legistar online user guide. Now, it is generic in nature. And again, you guys, you know, drafting and approving kind of has specific things and stuff like that. So I created some specific guides for that. But when we talk about agendas and minutes and things like that, it's standard across the board. So there's your agendas module user guide, and then here's the minutes user guide here. That wouldn't apply to you though.
Can that be downloaded?
No, actually we stopped providing a link to download it to PDF. Granicus wanted to point everybody to the online stuff so that everybody goes to the same spot for the same information, and they always have the updated information. I mean, you could print it through the browser or something like that, but we don't have an option to do a PDF download or anything. Okay. All righty. Well, if that's it, we can go ahead and just, I guess, end about 15 minutes early.
But controls their export off, if you know.
What's that?
What controls their export options?
What controls the export options? Are you talking about this here? I think we can hide that from being something that we can click, so that they only click export and it just does everything. But this is actually drilling into Legistar administration and impact.
Importing different meeting types.
What's that?
They're exporting different meeting types. We want them to export those meetings to the correct places.
Yeah, so you can specify that in administration, actually. Well, the system's going to know where to export it to. Primarily, it's about the it's also about the archive, which you can specify that archive data here at this level.
Okay.
But with that export options, you know, as a link in there, it's basically allowing them to kind of modify some of this stuff here, which is stuff you would be kind of sitting, you know, setting up for them.
Okay.
Closer to go live, I would just, you know, this is probably an area where we want to make sure that it's filled in correctly. So, you know, you could, you probably know, if not, you know, Brian should be able to help, or Ginger as well. But
yeah, we can't set them in training to the right place because we're not hooked up to our media,
right,
or in this instance, our project. Right. So.
Okay. Well, let me stop recording here, and then.